Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. Thank you for joining us again, and we look forward to spending time with you every Sunday right here on the talk station, WTKF. We've been talking about the constitutional amendments. We've worked our way up to amendment number 5, so today we'll get into that a little bit deeper and talk about that. But one thing we've been doing recently is before we discuss the amendments, we like to talk a little bit about local issues, local being the county, the state level. And we're going to do that this morning right here. As soon as we get through hearing from our sponsors in our first break, we'll come back and talk about our attorney general and our governor and the voter ID law situation. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
We have alignment. Others, attention.
Saturday, August 12th, Oriental Dragon Boat Race and Festival returns for the 8th consecutive year to magnificent River Dunes in Pamlico County. Dragon Boat Racing is the world's fastest growing water sport. Crews consist of 20 paddlers and one drummer. We have space for new teams and individual paddlers. Please check out our website, OrientalDragonBoat.com. Team categories include military, cancer survivors, seniors, youth, club, church, nonprofit teams, corporate and community teams. Come out and cheer. Come out and participate. Saturday, August 12th for the annual Oriental Dragon Boat Race and Festival, OrientalDragonBoat.com.
Are you fired up?
Need floor covering but don't know where to turn? McDowell Floor Coverings in Havelock has everything you need. Friendly people to help with options so you get the look you want at a price you can afford. A large inventory, quick delivery on special orders, quality products, and 80 years of combined installation experience. All at McDowell Floor Coverings, 273 Highway 70 West, Havelock. Two things to ask about: the spring into summer sale and how you might win a $500 gift card. McDowell Floor Coverings, Highway 70 West, Havelock.
For fresh, delicious seafood, come to Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro. We've got a big variety to choose from. Do you like shrimp, scallops, salmon? We've got them. We've got all sorts of fish. Right now, come for the soft-shell crabs from our place. Sausage and salmon we've smoked with pecan wood, devil crabs, and even peanuts we boil ourselves. You can also pick up seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sauces at Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 till 6.
Discover how much your animals benefit from good nutrition. Manette's Grocery stocks animal feeds designed to make horses and dogs feel their best. Got a horse in training that needs sustained energy, or is your horse an older fellow? Tribute Equine Nutrition has special feed for each of them, and we'll deliver. Manette's at 4001 Old Cherry Point Road is also a social center. You can have a snack, a cold drink, and trade some yarns. Oh, and you can even pick up a few groceries while you're here.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, as promised, we're going to talk a little bit about the voter ID debacle here in North Carolina. And for those of you that aren't familiar with it, we, the people, voted for the voter ID law. It passed overwhelmingly here in North Carolina. And, of course, the nefarious people that have been abusing the system in order to win elections, they immediately went to work judge shopping until they found one that would overturn it. And after that happened, under our previous governor, it was appealed and was waiting to be heard. And then we had an election. We got a new governor and a new attorney general. The attorney general, who should have continued forward with that appeal process, dropped it. He withdrew the appeal. So our General Assembly is now looking at taking action against him because that was outside the realm of his responsibilities as Attorney General. And actually, Diane, you can explain to us a little bit about the legality of what he did.
Well, what he did was he filed an appeal. He filed a motion with the court to remove the appeal, to withdraw the appeal. And what he should have done, he should have consulted the General Assembly. They have rights under statutory law, and they have the right to have, private counsel to help them. I think under when there's the issue of constitutionality of any of their laws, they have the right to have counsel and to help defend that law. Well, the General Assembly was not consulted. It was just with unilateral action. And so that's just one of the charges against Stein. Another one is that he testified in the lawsuit. He testified on the side of opposing voter ID. And that's a major conflict of interest under the rules of professional
ethics
conduct.
Breach, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. So that was one thing. He shouldn't be an attorney
so you're
general.
You're saying our opponents politically have had a lack of principles and they're being somewhat hypocritical?
Yes.
That's yes. Right. Shocking. So,
yeah.
Sorry.
So specifically, a witness in a case can't act as a lawyer representing one of the parties, and that's an explicit rule under the
specifically the opposite side,
right? Or any side at all.
I want to just throw a curve into this discussion for a minute. As you know, the president has appointed a commission to investigate voter fraud because he believes it's a problem, and a report came out of Colorado this week that several county clerks in Colorado said they've seen hundreds of people withdraw their voter registrations following the state's announcement that it would comply with President Trump's voter fraud commission. So in Denver, 180 people have withdrawn their registration in the county since Monday. So I really think that maybe voter ID might be necessary.
And there's a bunch of states that refuse to comply with Trump's.
Which really makes you wonder.
Right, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Did they give any indication about what the pretext for their withdrawal was. And the reason I'm asking this is because there's specifically a case in Texas that people might be familiar with where a certain illegal immigrant kept trying to register to vote and at a certain point was actually held criminally responsible for it. And the defense was, comically, she didn't know what she was doing. She wasn't aware of the subtleties of law. She had been told by President Obama, voting makes you a citizen and whatnot. And if your defense is you're not able to comprehend it, then maybe you shouldn't be voting in elections with complex issues at stake. It would be out of the onion if people understood how this is somehow taken seriously.
But don't you think that's another reason we need to have overhaul of our immigration system?
Absolutely.
I think there should be some... I would say you're absolutely
right for an abundance of reasons.
Right? There should be a period. Wasn't there a time when you had to study up to be made a citizen? You had to answer questions?
You still do.
Our founding fathers, to include most explicitly Alexander Hamilton, talked about in, I believe it was examination number 8 from 1802, about what he felt would be reasonable requirements for citizenship, you know, and how things would have to be done to keep any sort of preservation of the Constitution as it was intended going forward, because it's just completely unreasonable to think you could flood people that weren't from the country into the country and they wouldn't be acting possibly in the interest of the nation they came from.
That's absolutely
right.
That was common sense to our founding fathers, and now it's like, oh, you're a racist if you think that.
Yeah.
A friend of ours from Britain was studying to be an American citizen, and I was going through his lessons with him, and the things he was learning were things I don't think a high school student would have known.
Which is insane.
I was very impressed with that. You know, we need to put that requirement on our kids when they're in high school to at least learn the basics of how our country works.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting back to Stein's issue here, a former member of the Federal Elections Commission, Von Spigovsky, wants North Carolina State Bar to investigate Stein's part in killing the state's appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court in a voter ID lawsuit. He says, "You have an unethical attorney general. I'm going to say that straight out. Now a lawyer and senior fellow at Washington, D.C.-based Heritage Foundation, Van Spakovsky, is pushing for an investigation of Attorney General Josh Stein.
Wow.
If the state bar fails to act on a no-question violation of the ethics rule governing lawyers in this state, it is giving in to politics instead of doing its job policing the legal profession," he said. So, at issue here is intervention in a U.S. Supreme Court appeal by the General Assembly's Republican leadership of a lower court's ruling in North Carolina versus North Carolina State Conference of the NAACP. A 3-judge panel of the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled an omnibus election law violated the Federal Voting Rights Act. It required voters to present an approved form of photo identification, and it also reduced the early voting period from 17 days to 10 days, which I thought was great, and eliminated out-of-precinct voting, same-day registration in voting, and pre-registration of 16-year-olds. And anybody with any common sense knows all of those things that were eliminated were being abused and leading to fraudulent elections.
Yeah, that's where the fraud was.
But right. They're not required. No one's entitled to that anyway. As of 1991, North Carolina had one-day election. Mm-hmm. So, and up until 2006, we still had states with one-day election.
And that's the way it should be.
All of a sudden, how did all of a sudden become an entitlement?
Yeah, you know, well, because people who are economically repressed might not be able to get off of a job any given one day, so we needed extra periods. That was the argument.
Yeah,
I'm not saying I agree with it.
It's not an entitlement yet.
The Constitution itself says, hey, your employer needs to let you go and vote because that's kind of an important thing. And whether it be the fact that we've shifted to hourly employment versus salaried employment and a variety of other things, people decided that there's a variety of ways they can pull at people's heartstrings to get the law changed so people want to feel good about themselves.
Who was the historian that said it doesn't matter who votes, it matters who counts the votes?
Is that Stalin?
If only I had a magical machine that could get me that kind of answer.
In relation to that, if we went back to the 2004 election and we had a semi-personal involvement in it, then the 2004 election, there were ballots from soldiers deployed overseas that were not counted in Florida because of the franking privilege. It didn't have a date stamp on the ballot, and therefore Florida refused to count the military ones. Even though they were received on time, they were not dated.
Right. Yet they counted overseas votes from other people who had dual citizenship
in a variety of places. We have a relative whose commanding officer was one of those votes not counted, and it didn't make him very happy.
I will admit to growing up in the age of dinosaurs, but I remember as a child that on voting day, the schools were closed, the polling places were the schools, and people had the day off to go vote.
Yeah. Well, far from being resolved through the voter ID case, the same legal conflict between the two parties resurfaced last week in court filings by legislative lawyers in the Covington versus North Carolina redistricting lawsuit. Again, racial issues.
But didn't we do away with preclearance? Title IX was invalidated in Shelby in what, 2008 case or 2013 case, right? Title IX of the Voting Rights Act said there's 9 southern states that had a record or they had a history of discrimination, disenfranchising of African Americans as it pertains to voting. So they were put under preclearance. You have to put your voter ID laws through this,
basically saying those 9 states had less rights than other states to determine their own local elections.
But that evidence goes back well over 40 years. So in Shelby, the court said in at least 40 years, there has been no evidence of discrimination, even in these.
But I heard Al Sharpton say that there was issues last election.
No, well,
there were issues, but not the ones he's talking about.
There are districts.
Dead people voted.
Right. There are whole districts in these southern states, these 9 states, that have greater turnout from African Americans than whites. So how do you say that
the problem is that there's been this canard raised for a long time, and as soon as anybody screams racial issues, racial insensitivity, or anything that can be pertained to racism, everybody capitulates and gives them exactly what they want.
Absolutely.
Right. All right. Well, I think the problem we have here, and I'm going to revert back to one of the statements that this gentleman made before, where he said that we have an unethical attorney general. And I want to refer back to something James Madison said. This is a quote from him. "We have staked the whole future of American civilization, not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future of all our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God."
And that's the problem. Our republic was meant only for moral and religious people.
You go back to those quotes from people who spent a lot more time thinking about this, John Adams and others. A lot more time thinking about these sorts of things as a proper relation of men and their place in the grand scheme of things, and how just because you happen to have a little bit of political power at that time doesn't mean you rewrite all of civilization.
Right. Well, like you said about the racial issues, all you have to do is say racism and they capitulate. Well, you got the same problem with our religious freedoms, trying to remove it from every aspect of the public square, the Ten Commandments monuments that have been taken down and removed, and that's where the problem's at. If you don't have that moral base, as we've talked about before, you're going to have unethical leadership, and that's what we've got.
Are we proving that we're not capable of governing ourselves? Are we on the verge of proving that?
It's a very interesting thing. That could be a whole couple shows.
I hate to be
shows.
Negative, but yeah. That's an honest question.
Well, I think it just shows why, and the intelligence and wisdom of the Founding Fathers, that we were never intended to be a pure democracy.
Right.
There was meant to be checks on everything, to include the... I guess I would say the passions
why,
of men.
That's
you know,
why
you,
they
people,
established a republic.
But, right. The people can get riled up, and then people might slow down later and be like, wait, what did we do? Let's, you know, and there are supposed to be sober, educated thinkers who can get past that and understand there might be some long-term ramifications that not everybody's considering. That's why you had things like representation to begin with and a limited franchise, to be honest, you know, amongst people who are supposed to be the more careful and basically earned it amongst the population. It was not supposed to be mass participation. Just because you have a pulse, you get to have a say that nobody else can override. And honestly, on the other side of that, that's part of the reason you've had a disproportionate influence of the money in politics on the other side, which is the attempt of other people who have more resources to gain that influence back that they might have lost. So there's a push and take that comes with that.
Well, you know, all these entitlement programs that we have now are just buying votes. That's all it is. And to answer your question, Mary, I don't think it's that we're not capable. I think it's that we became very complacent and apathetic. And over a period of time of chipping away and chipping away, we've now found ourselves in this position. And people are scrambling to say, what happened? How do we fix this? How do we get back to where we came from?
This election was a great prover of that point, because a lot of people felt in their gut something that I saw in a meme that I really like, where the people who work for a living are getting taken advantage of by the people who vote for a living.
Right.
Yes.
And I've seen it in a few different ways, but that's as bare bones as it has to get.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a break, because we're working for a living here. And we need to hear from our sponsors. And look, when you go out and visit one of our sponsors, please tell them thank you for supporting CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
What do marine navigation systems, automatic firearms, diesel engines, and home-long sprinklers have in common? Force 5, that's what. Force 5 was created to stop weapons from jamming in Sandy, Afghanistan, but it can do a lot more. Force 5 solves marine and firearms problems caused by rust, salt water, and corrosion. To clean, lubricate, protect, get Force 5. Anything else is a waste of time. Call Ernie at 252-670-0728 or go to force5-marine.com.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. Amazing Blaze in Bridgeton is the place for all your propane or natural gas needs. Amazing Blaze sells gas grills, tankless hot water heaters, why heat water you're not using, gas appliances, and of course they sell propane gas. Amazing Blaze can handle your propane to natural gas conversions and appliance installations. And if you need your gas equipment service or gas logs cleaned and serviced, that's right up the alley of their experienced and capable service technicians. Family owned Amazing Blaze, 811 Highway 17 in Bridgeton. That's Amazing Blaze, Highway 17, Bridgeton. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, we've had an interesting discussion about our state attorney general and the voter ID law here. We hope that the Supreme Court will reach a favorable decision on that. Mary, you wanted to talk a little bit about Charlie.
I want to talk about Charlie Gard. Charlie Gard is the little boy in the hospital in Britain who's suffering from mitochondrial depletion syndrome. Really doesn't, the details of that don't matter other than unless it's treated, it's terminal, and the treatments are experimental. And the British healthcare system, one single payer, socialized medicine,
socialized, right,
wants Charlie to stay in the hospital and die with dignity. Now, his parents have the means to take him out of there and take him to America for experimental treatment.
They've raised close to $2 million last year.
The Vatican has offered to put him in their hospital. Donald Trump has offered to be a part of this. Money is not the issue. So why would a socialized medicine country want to sentence a baby to death rather than allow him to undergo a treatment that would save his life? Now, I have a comment on this. Shortly after Obamacare, and understand the goal of Obamacare is single payer for America, Representative John Dingell, a Democrat from Minnesota, was on a talk show. And this is what he said. The harsh fact of the matter is when you're going to pass legislation that will cover 300 million American people in different ways, it takes a long time to do the necessary administrative steps that have to be taken to put the legislation together to control the people.
There you go.
It's not about the money. The parents have the money. It's about the state having control of that baby's life and the parents not having control.
They've taken the parents' rights away.
And I believe the fact that this is happening at the time that we are debating the repeal of Obamacare is not a coincidence. God has a sense of humor.
Yeah. Well, you know, like you say, that is exactly what Obamacare was all about, a single-payer system here, socialized medicine. And if you people out there listening don't think that could happen here in this country, there is a lot of money behind it, a lot of political power behind it.
Yes.
And that's why it hasn't been repealed yet and why it may not get repealed.
This has tentacles into an issue that a lot of people are scared to talk about, and that's the idea of a eugenics program. And
yes,
when you bring up any sort of topic and people start saying either A, you're a conspiracy theorist, or B, you're cold-hearted, or any variety of things, and it gets, unfortunately, back into the topic we were talking about earlier, which is racial and ethnic issues and also something we talked about a little bit as we were prepping, the idea of confiscation of funds and redistribution by the government. And unfortunately, just about any time the government gets its hand into any of this, it starts putting its fingers on the scales in a variety of ways. And this is one of the most heart-wrenching when it comes to children, infants, and parental rights for their children. And because the government's paying for the health care. Wait, the people are paying in taxes, so aren't they paying for it? So shouldn't they still have some semblance of say?
Also, they've raised the money.
I think it's ironic that every time we hear something about tax cuts, the argument against it is it's all about the children, how much it's going to hurt the children. And yet, in this situation, the essence of it is forget about the children.
Well, I think this is all bringing up something that should be horrible to all of us, is this age of value. We're putting value on human beings. What's their value to society? Who is likely to produce more for the state, for the government? So we have to...
Quality of life.
So we're putting a value. If we give this person treatment, they're likely to live maybe another 10 years. But this person already has a little bit of a disability. Let's deny them because we really can't improve their quality of life. But that whole, it goes down to putting a value on human beings' life.
Not only that, they've taken the decision-making rights of the parents to make a decision with their own doctor of their choice, as it was for many, many generations.
And their own money.
They've taken those rights away, and they are making their own choices and enforcing them.
Governments across the industrialized world for the longest time, and I can put a number on it somewhere post-war, if you want an exact date, have put an increasing value, back to what Diane was saying, on the lives of people who produce tax revenue versus people who might consume it. And that's part of the reason we have all found ourselves in a situation where they want an increasing, ever-increasing amount of working-aged immigrants at the expense of the local population producing children, because by and large, children take resources, and there's a long-term investment that
and
comes into that.
And also the elderly.
And that's
why. You're either too young to be of benefit to
or
them,
too old.
Or you're too old to be of benefit to them.
And they want to create as many people magically at 20 years old that last until they're 55 and then disappear so that they're tax cattle for the state, and then nothing gets paid on the back end. By and large, older people will tend to vote, and so they've gotten a slightly disproportionate say in things. But the overall trend has been don't have kids, they cost money, work, keep working. And by the way, if you're going to have kids and work, you go to work, pay somebody else so we can gather taxes off of that child care, and they have to pay taxes on what they make on it, because as long as you don't have a mom raising children and taking care of them on her own, the government doesn't get its gouge off of that.
Right.
So the health care system, and you all bring up these points, one of the architects of the health care, of Obamacare, is a man named Ezekiel.
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel Ezekiel from Princeton. And he wrote an article in a...
Was he the one who justified lying about it to get it passed, if I remember correctly?
No, that was the...
Well, there was Ben Rhodes you're talking about.
No, that was the Harvard guy. I can't think of his name. But Ezekiel Emmanuel was known for having this curve.
Yeah, yeah. So Obamacare is all about controlling health care costs. So what he did in his article, he said that you look at a person's life and you look at it in terms of cost benefit type thing. And we put in the most money towards preserving their health and into their health care is when they are of most benefit to the country, to the state. So when you have a small child, maybe up to 5 years old, well, he hasn't done anything. He hasn't served the state yet. So the state has not invested in his education yet, hasn't invested into making him work ready. So we don't reserve so much money for the very young, for infants. But then you hit, school age, and now, it's $9,000 a year the state's putting into your education. Well, they're investing in you because then you're going to be work ready at some point. So the bulk of healthcare resources are going to go towards this, people that are in there, education, and those who are working. But then, then you get to be 50, 60. Well, your children are grown. You've done the best. You've served you know, the state. You've produced your children. You've raised your children. You've worked. Now you're retiring. So, you know, I hate to say it, but you're a little bit more of a burden now, right, on the healthcare system. And, you know, I'm slowly approaching that. So, you know, I find this all offensive. but then you reserve, you know, less money for the elderly because, you know, this is all rationing of healthcare so that we can spend it wisely. So under Obamacare, you could see the trend is you're not having not so much death panels, but you're having rationing of care. But you're also having, instead of, you know, an 80-year-old and you needed, you know, cancer therapy, chemotherapy, well, are they going to counsel you more about getting that surgery and investing in these experimental treatments? Or are they going to counsel you on how to die with dignity, enjoy your life in quality of life the best you can? Do you want to sacrifice your quality of life by going through chemo? So that's where we're going to see, I think, you know, if we keep Obamacare, we're going
to
see that.
Right. Well, getting back to Mary's original question there, why would they want, if there's outside entities in another country that are willing to foot the bill and take care of the problem, why would they not want to let that happen?
Control. But I want to go back to what Diane said. There was a situation, it was either Washington or Oregon State, mm-hmm. where a woman had cancer. She was maybe in her 50s, and the health care would not approve the cancer drug, right. but they would approve a euthanasia drug.
Right. It was heart-wrenching.
And that is an example.
Oh, my God.
But it's about control. It's about the state controlling.
Well, let me ask you this question. Why did we need Obamacare? What was it fixing?
That's what I wanted to bring up.
Fixing the insurance companies weren't making enough money.
No, there's too many people putting a drain on the health on our healthcare system. So is this problem endemic because not enough Americans are working, or is it because people are having kids they can't afford? Are we having too many people on the system? If everybody got under this notion that you have children if you can afford them, you have a job so you could pay for your health care, if people were more responsible, or you know, I know it's not everybody's fault. Maybe it's the government's. It's suppressing the ability to work. Maybe Trump will turn
things around. Or suppressing the ability to make a wage as livable.
Okay. Suppressing the free market.
Right, right.
One of their selling points was there was umpteen million people without health insurance.
Right.
But that was a choice those people made.
Right.
And you have people like Jonathan Gruber openly saying, the gentleman I was thinking of earlier, yeah, we lied to the stupid American people so we could get it passed.
Right. That's right.
They were completely willing to mislead people because they thought it was good that they lied to get
better.
It in.
They know better.
Right.
One of the other evolutions that we've gone through is that now no one knows the cost of any treatment. We're all submitting a bill to an insurance company, not knowing what the going rate is for that insurance company with that doctor or that provider or whatever else. We don't know the costs of various things. And at the same time, we know that there is the insurance companies and the doctors are protecting themselves by doing a number of tests, maybe a number of them unnecessary.
And same thing, like the hospital here that's got millions of dollars in the bank.
Yeah.
Why do you pay umpteen $100 for Tylenol?
Let me go ahead. I want to briefly extrapolate the economic principle in case anybody isn't familiar with all the different factors, because it's important of why we don't know the process and the price. And it's simply because it's government subsidized, you've removed a bottom end to the pricing at which it won't exist. Meaning if it goes above $500 for X good, people will stop buying it. And if it goes below a certain price, it's not profitable. The government says, we will pay whatever you declare you need to make a profit. So the companies can fluctuate that price to say, well, we're not making a profit. And that can be strictly based on the fact that they're skimming off a too high a premium to pay to the shareholders. What you have is a wealth transfer, not based on need or based on actual health care, but based on the shareholders aren't making enough profit, so therefore the company says we need more,
and
the government
CEO
feels that.
Needs $1 billion bonus.
It is purely a bilking of the taxpayer to the shareholders as a transfer from the government that has almost nothing to do with health care itself.
Right. Well, getting back to the Constitution, where in the Constitution should government be involved in our health care?
Well, there isn't.
There isn't anywhere.
No. And the states were right, those 26 states which challenged Obamacare, they had it right. And I personally was hopeful and actually optimistic that the court would have struck down health care as being not enumerated under Article 1. But the weasel, John Roberts, invented a new way to save the bill by saying it's a tax, even though Congress said it was not a tax.
Well, look at some of the biggest drains on us, our health care system, our education system. Yeah. Both of those are unconstitutional. They shouldn't even exist. Let's take a break to hear from our sponsors and cool down a little bit, and we'll come back and pick up this topic.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. For fresh, delicious seafood, come to Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro. We've got a big variety to choose from. Do you like shrimp, scallops, salmon? We've got them. We've got all sorts of fish. Right now, come for the soft-shell crabs from our place. Sausage and salmon we smoked with pecan wood, deviled crabs, and even peanuts we boil ourselves. You can also pick up seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sauces at Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 till 6.
Discover how much your animals benefit from good nutrition. Manette's Grocery stocks animal feeds designed to make horses and dogs feel their best. Got a horse in training that needs sustained energy? Or is your horse an older fellow? Tribute Equine Nutrition has special feed for each of them and will deliver. Manette's at 4001 Old Cherry Point Road is also a social center. You can have a snack, a cold drink, and trade some yarns. Oh, and you can even pick up a few groceries while you're here.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
What do marine navigation systems, automatic firearms, diesel engines, and home loan sprinklers have in common? Force 5, that's what. Force 5 was created to stop weapons from jamming in sandy Afghanistan, but it can do a lot more. Force 5 solves marine and firearms problems caused by rust, salt water, and corrosion. To clean, lubricate, protect, get Force 5. Anything else is a waste of time. Call Ernie at 252-670-0728 or go to force5-marine.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Golly, it got hot in here during that last discussion. The temperature went up a few degrees.
I apologize to the folks that are listening because they're missing our knockdown, drag-out fights during the interruption.
Oh, I'm glad you said missing. I'll tell you what else is missing. We're missing a number of people tonight because it is the summertime and vacation time and all that. Hal and Rainer are gone. Hal celebrating his 80th birthday with some of his family. So they're not here tonight, but we've got Bob and Mary Griswold. We've got Diane Ruffino, and we've got Michael, and we've got me. So
if you want to start catching, we've flown a few ideas around, but potentially we could hook another video camera and do an audio feed and do a live, this is how we record the show on Wednesday night. And you guys, if you want, give us feedback on the CCTA website, and we will do a live Ustream version, and you could get all of me passing, you know, politically incorrect
names
around. I don't know
if we really want to do that or not.
If the audience likes it, I'm just saying, amongst the various things we've considered to try and reach out to a broader audience, we could do a live Wednesday night show.
Well, you brought up a good point. We do have a feedback button on the cctaxpayers.com website. It's labeled feedback, and there's also a contact. So you can contact us and let us know what you think about the radio show. Give us some ideas of what you want to hear discussed. And, you know, we're here in the effort to try to educate on the Constitution. And that's why we're going through the amendments. And we're up to Amendment 5 now. And we're going to start right here in just a moment. But please take time to go to cctaxpayers.com. Click on the feedback button and give us your input.
Ask us questions.
And it can be totally anonymous if you like. And remember, CCTA is a nonpartisan organization. So if you've got an entirely different opinion, we welcome hearing from you, and we'll share that on the air with our listeners. So please, cctaxpayers.com. Fifth Amendment, Michael, read it for us, please.
No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger. Nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Now, to go right in with that last part about just compensation and the different discussions we've had has kind of gone extensively through the ringer.
Diane, what are the three main tenets of that amendment?
Okay, so we have... this is a great amendment. I love it.
It's got like 16 different parts and a lot of semicolons. Try reading that out loud.
All right. So the main one is no one should be forced to incriminate oneself, right?
Self-incrimination.
And then you have double jeopardy.
Double jeopardy. Can't be tried twice for the same.
Right. And then you have due process.
Due process.
And then you have your no taking of private property out without due process.
How do states get away with civil forfeiture when it obviously is not in alignment with the Fifth Amendment?
Because they kicked the teeth of the Fourth and Fifth Amendments in on that one. If you guys remember the discussion of, you know, the precedent of innocent until proven guilty, yet they'll just grab all your stuff and say, you're committing a crime, we think maybe, without actually having to reach any of that threshold.
Yeah.
That's the Fourth, and the Fifth is... Okay, wait, you're getting this. We have to miss the pay to get it out of hock. And if you say we're committing a crime,
right,
well, it just goes away to begin with.
You ask a very good question. How do they get away? That's a question you hear asked a lot. How do they get away with doing these things? We have allowed them to do it. We have not stood up aggressively enough. We've been silent too long. We leave it up to somebody else to do it.
And they do it a little bit at a time.
Right. Well, they've gone, it's generational because each generation they have chipped away at the educational system. They don't teach history anymore. Mm-hmm. We've already discussed that. They teach the agendas they want taught. And now most people out there think that the police and the judges, they are the rule of law. No, We, the people, are sovereign. We are the rule of law.
Well, some states have passed laws against civil forfeiture,
mm-hmm.
but they shouldn't have to do that.
I'm going to get on to a very, very shaky high wire because this is the Constitution of the United States. Now, the Constitution of the United States was really a contract between the various states. And really, the various states at times have overridden what they don't want to do as a constitutional authority across all the states. But the individual states have sometimes erred in many, many different directions that overstepped their bounds, but they're allowed to get away with it.
Well, that's state's
criminal
right.
Law,
states are sovereign.
Criminal law is typically a state sovereign issue, right? That's typically a state issue.
Mm-hmm.
Just like voter laws and marriage right. and things like
well,
that.
Well, that's why you had blue laws in some states and not, well, in some counties and not in others within the same
yeah.
state. You know, it was up to the people in their communities to decide what was proper and right for their community. So somewhere along the line, we allowed the federal government to seize that power.
Somewhere, give or take, the middle 1800s is where most people really feel a lot of that started.
But when did civil forfeiture become as popular as it has been? Because a lot of, I realize it's being lessened now because some of the states have passed laws against it. But there was a time that some of our larger cities, in their budgets, included revenue from civil forfeiture.
Mm-hmm.
The best examples I can think of were there is a law in the books about bank deposits of $10,000. Evidently, if you put $10,000 in the bank, you have to fill out some kind of paperwork. On numerous occasions in various states, a business that maybe didn't have revenue of $10,000 all at once and made, say, three deposits of $3,000 was accused of evading the law. And the state government or the city government, depending on where they were, came in and seized their bank accounts on the accusation of their evading the law. Now, there was no grand jury. There was no due process. They just took the money. A lot in a number of these cases, some of the pro bono legal groups have gotten involved to help the people get their stuff back. But it costs a lot of money to get your stuff back.
Which is the entire whole idea of what I was saying with the Fourth Amendment of, aren't you supposed to be presumed guilty before you get punished?
Exactly.
And then they'll just, oh, we took $100,000. All right, well, you want it back? We're going to run up $100,000 worth of legal bills and maybe you get your money back and
yeah.
maybe you don't.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's an obvious violation of the Fifth Amendment. And yet it happens.
It is. And again, I'll go back to what I said a moment ago. It happens because we have allowed it to happen. People have not stood up based on... This country was founded on common law.
Yes.
Okay? And if you go back and study common law... well, I'm going to look at the glossary here in the common law book I'm looking at here. The chief executive and administrative officer of a county being chosen by popular election, they were chosen, voted on by the people, and sure. by popular election they were won. The sheriff has the authority to call the grand jury to seek an indictment. America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves. That was what Abraham Lincoln said. The county sheriff is the last line of defense when it comes to upholding and defending the Constitution. The sheriff's duties and obligations go far beyond writing tickets, arresting criminals, and operating jails. The sheriff also has an obligation to protect the constitutional rights of the citizens in our counties. This includes the right to free speech, the right to assemble, and the right to bear arms. Sheriffs take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic. In the history of our world, it is government tyranny more than any other thing that has violated the freedoms granted to us by our Creator. It is the duty of the sheriff to protect their counties from those that would take away our freedoms, both foreign and domestic, whether it is a terrorist from Yemen or a bureaucrat from Washington, D.C. Now, how many sheriffs don't even know this.
Not even that. If the sheriff is going to gain money for the county by civil forfeiture, doesn't he have a conflict of interest
he
right
does.
There?
Why also has that power that the sheriffs were supposed to have been usurped completely by the judiciary, exactly like Patrick Henry said it could be, because there was no built-in control over that, because completely extra-constitutionally, you've had the Supreme Court decide it has these unmitigated right to be the final say on constitutional, when that was never the intent. In fact, just about anybody who takes an oath to the Constitution should have some ability to weigh in on that.
That's right. Well, I hate to say this, but Bob has just pointed out to me that we are out of time. We have just got started rolling on this, but I promise you, we're going to be back and address this issue next week.
I want
week.
To push back on one of your assertions when we start the next episode. Tune in, guys.
All right, so next week, we'll come back. We'll continue the Fifth Amendment. And we thank you for listening today. Please come back and join us again next Sunday at 11 a.m. and again at 8 p.m. here on WTKF Talk Radio.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
There's something for everyone at Stingray Cafe in New Bern. For the seafood lover, there are oysters, shrimp, scallops, clams, crabs, snow crab legs, and a wide variety of fish. Not in the mood for seafood? How about a salad, a burger, beef brisket, or some good old hickory smoked barbecue? There's even a menu section for folks 10 and younger. Open 7 days a week, the Stingray Cafe on South Front Street in New Bern, just across the street from the History Center.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Need floor covering but don't know where to turn? McDowell Floor Coverings in Havelock has everything you need. Friendly people to help with options so you get the look you want at a price you can afford. A large inventory, quick delivery on special orders, quality products, and 80 years of combined installation experience. All at McDowell Floor Coverings, 273 Highway 70 West, Havelock. Two things to ask about: the spring into summer sale and how you might win a $500 gift card. McDowell Floor Coverings, Highway 70 West, Havelock.
The CCTA appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutrition Consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend, and S&D Gun and Knife Shows. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Stingray Cafe, South Front Street, New Bern, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, and Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55, Grantsboro. Also, the County Compass serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret Counties, Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue, Manette's Grocery, Force 5 Marine Saltwater Corrosion Inhibitor, Oriental Dragon Boat Races, and Amazing Blaze, Highway 17, Bridgeton. Join us again next week at this time for your wake-up call from the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, online at cctaxpayers.com.